will you be more satisfied if you leave your current space today? And that means maybe just outside your comfort zone, exploring another work, another hobby, another activity that you think you will find more satisfaction, more gratification. Or does that mean moving to another country, territory altogether because it will challenge you more? Maybe you thrive more in a challenging environment and then grow in the process. So for me personally, I have several friends or several people also ask me, does it really mean for you to become a better person? You have to relocate, you have to be expatriated, you have to transfer to another country. The answer for me is, it depends what you really want to become.
Welcome to Beyond Better, a podcast that explores a simple but profound idea. We all deserve to live lives we love, and that includes our work lives too. I'm Stacey Ennis, an author and longtime location-independent entrepreneur living in Portugal with my family of four. Join me as I talk business, location independence, writing, travel, and so much more. All focused on building a life that is beyond better. Welcome, welcome. I am so excited this week to get to introduce you to our guest. She has an incredible backstory. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about work, business, travel, and all the things. But before we jump in, I want to read you the latest review on the podcast. Your reviews make a huge, huge difference in my ability to grow the podcast and reach more people with the message of Beyond Better. So let me read you my most recent review. This review comes from Miss Menshaka. She says, really interesting guests and relaxed vibe. I love that so much. I feel like I'm chatting in a coffee shop with my best friends because these episodes are so down to earth. Thank you so much for that review. I really appreciate it. And hey, that's exactly the vibe that I'm going for here. It's like that balance of comfortable discussion and relaxed, but also packed with value, because that's my other goal with this podcast. So if you have been listening for any length of time, I'd be so grateful if you would take a moment to leave a review as well, and I might read it on a future episode. So with all that said, I am really excited to welcome this week's guest. Jovel Fernandez is an obstetrician gynecologist with subspecialty in reproductive endocrinology, infertility, and oncology, as well as a multi-awarded and highly respected woman healthcare executive and the author of The Expat. Those are a lot of designations, Jovel. I like stumbled over even saying all of the things that you do. It's amazing. I'm so excited to get to speak with you today.
Thanks a lot, Stacey, and thanks a lot for having me today. I really love the review on your podcast that you alluded to. I mean, it's like the good vibe, right? Right, trying to balance all things, and let's have this conversation in a coffee shop, right? So, yeah, I mean, looking forward to share my journey to become an author, and I hope I'll be able to inspire others in the process as well.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to talk more about your book, The Expat, but before we get there, I would love to hear about your background. You have lived and worked all over the world, but you've done it in a little bit of a different way than really almost any of the guests that we've had on this show. Most of the guests that I've had, they have businesses I would say most of them have businesses. Not many of them have, you know, become a doctor and traveled around the world, lived around the world, worked around the world. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your backstory. Clearly you're a high achiever. Clearly you dream really big. Talk to me about what led you into the work that you do, and like, what's that story that got you there?
So I guess, Stacey, when you introduced me a while ago, it was really a mouthful, right? All the yeah. I would say, first and foremost, I would like to be known as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter, as a sister, and as a friend. Of course, as a physician, that's the profession that I chose, because for me, it's about providing service to others. And I do that a lot with doing my charity work. And actually, the profit involving the sale of my book will go to those charity work that I've been doing. And also, my husband is also a physician himself. So I aspired to be in that space because I thought I could make a difference to other people's lives in that way, to treat the disease, to manage their malady, and to be there to support them and help them, right? So you will see a different version of me when I'm in the operating room, for example, not just because of the scrub suit and all those, but because that is a different scenario. So moving to a situation of me moving from one country to the other, it was an exhilarating, extraordinary experience. And along with it came a lot of powerful life lessons, right? So I'm originally from the Philippines. We moved and relocated and expatriated to several territories and countries. So that's Japan, Singapore, Belgium, and of course the U.S. So we permanently migrated to the U.S. as well. Part of it was in the healthcare industry. So I was working in pharmaceutical companies, and I was responsible at leading and managing huge organizations coming from various countries. So you can imagine moving to another country is part of it, but also dealing and communicating with various individuals coming from other cultural backgrounds, very different from where I came from, was also a good learning experience in and of itself.
Yes, there's so much to learn really from every place you go, whether you're living there or traveling there. I feel like if you're open, you're going to grow. I'm curious. So I come from a family of doctors and a couple generations of surgeons, general surgeons. And so obviously I didn't go into the medical field, but like I probably should have given our, you know, family's pathway. But I feel like what I've taken into from that world into my work is just a desire to serve and support other people, and a very kind of a self, hopefully selfless way of functioning in the world. Like I'm here to help other people. And that's actually how I see a book too. Like a book is a give, it's a service to others to help them grow, to help them do something, to help them transform or be entertained or whatever it is. So I'm curious to know, for you coming from this medical world and now journeying into being an author, I see the connections in the mindset of that. But can you talk to me a little bit about that journey? What made you decide to write your book? And what has that journey been like as you have embarked on that and, you know, published it and gotten it out into the world?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, Stacey, it was sometimes we experience things in our lives that will define us. There's always a moment which will lead us to something different. So for me, that moment was 2021 was the most difficult time in my life. I had 5 deaths in the family, 4 of which were unrelated to COVID. Well, indirectly related to COVID because they didn't pass away because of COVID, but because of the too much strain healthcare system, they didn't get the appropriate medical attention that they really deserved during that time. One of those individuals actually is my dad. He had a huge influence in my career, in my life, or whichever path I took. And every time my moment with him was storytelling. Every time it was like, he will put a humorous twist on things and then he will try to find the best out of that experience. And when I shared my experiences with him with traveling, expatriating in various countries, he would always say, write a book, because other people will learn from it. And I never got the chance to write it before he passed away. But after that, it made me realize that, okay, now, Dad, let me write a book. And then maybe I will be able to fulfill what you wanted me to do beyond what I thought was actually my mission in life. So when I started writing a book, one of my friends told me, you know what, Javel, 80% of people would like to write a book, but only 1% realize writing a book and becoming authors. So a part of that is, how is the, area of vulnerability that I want to go to, because I would like to write a memoir. It's about my travels, relocations, and all those things. So clearly, the perception of others about me is I'm this individual, I guess, highly credible in the field that I chose. But then I have to put the personal side of me whereby I'm not perfect. Hey, guys, I made mistakes. But not everyone knew about those ones, right? So how authentic can I become? So essentially in that journey, I can write so many scientific papers. I've authored like nearly 100 of them, and I can really write it. I can just go ahead and keep on writing. Book writing is totally different. It's not just the language, but how do you then try to conceptualize what you want to deliver? What is your ultimate goal? So I have to hire a book coach. I have to work with copywriters, professional editors, because they are there. They have lived through that. They have worked with authors. So I encourage those of you, the listeners of this podcast, you have to find a way. You have to understand first what you really want to do. What message do you want to deliver across? If it is nonfiction, fiction. But at the end of the day, that value that you bring to this world, you know, sharing that selflessly is something. If you chose book as the appropriate format or platform, go ahead and do it. I would say just go ahead, just do it, because you can. I dedicated at least an hour a day to write a book. I started with like mind mapping. What do I want to deliver? What message do I want to come across? And then I have to start writing. I have to become fully committed with it. And after writing that book, I was like, oh my God, I made an accomplishment, right? And then when I had published it few months ago at Amazon, it's like, oh, it's so, when I had the first, this is the first printed book that I have on hardcover format, I was really ecstatic. That feeling is something that I would never experience, even if I'm in the operating room delivering a baby or saving the life of somebody. Of course, that's another experience altogether. Or having conversation with my family, dealing with challenges in life. But this is totally different.
I love that. It was beautifully said. And I love that you leaned into getting the help that you need. I always think it's interesting, you know, this journey of writing a book is truly one of the hardest, most complex things that you can undertake. In everything else in our life, we would get help, right? But it's like I think it's drilled into us that writing a book is a lonely, suffering journey, and it doesn't actually have to be that way. You can get help and actually enjoy the process and feel that like alignment, fulfillment, support that you did. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that part of your journey. I know a lot of your book covers some of your challenges and high points of living abroad. And specifically, and I'm looking down at my notes here because there is so much to your journey, but you know, you were living and working as a foreigner in academia in a male-dominated society, and then in the corporate world. You're also juggling the demands of work and family. You're a wife, you're a mom, you're a human being trying to function in the world and do all things. I'd love to hear from you about some of your obstacles that you experienced throughout your time abroad, perhaps when you came to the U.S. And what did you do to navigate those? And what can our readers draw from that?
Yeah, excellent question, Stacey. I mean, I can tackle those in two areas, the professional life and the personal life, right? So we all have demands from work, whether that is coming up with our deliverables, what we wanted to do so that we meet the expectations and demands of it. But at the same time, living in that space whereby professionally, the challenge that I had included the fact that, do others around me really value the me with my expertise, with my set of skills that I know I have demonstrated in the past. So why are people still not aligned with what I think I can deliver, what I think I can make decision on? Like, for example, in a male-dominated society, in the corporate life, whereby women could be less acknowledged as a productive member in the society, right? So that is an area, like, what is that value that you bring as a professional in that space? That was a huge challenge. So overcoming that obviously comes with demonstration of your ability, demonstration of, okay, trust me because I can do this, and here is why you need to trust me, because this is what I've done and this is how I was able to demonstrate it. So that is one piece: demonstrate by example, demonstrate by your accomplishments, and of course having that conversation with people around you so that they see you as a person that they can trust and you can build relationship in the process, right? Of course, I'm not saying that you run for Miss Congeniality Award. That's not what I'm saying. It's really more of having a good relationship with your peers, with your colleagues at work, so that at the end of the day, you can work together, they will trust you, and they will come to you if they need your help so that you can support each other in the process. So in the same way, in the personal life, there were some difficulties, like as a mom, you know, a working mom, as a wife, there have been instances whereby I thought I was there for my kids, for my husband, but I really wasn't. So I wasn't listening enough. I'm just hearing, I wasn't listening. So let me demonstrate by example. There was an instance when I was, you know, at home already on the kitchen counter in front of my laptop, and then my youngest son came back from school so excited with what he did, and you can just drawing something on a piece of paper for him that was huge, and he kept on talking about it endlessly, so proud of his accomplishment. And I was just saying in front of the laptop, that's great, my dear. Oh yeah, great job. But I wasn't really looking. You know what he did? He grabbed both of my cheeks and directed right in front of me, saying, "Mommy, are you here?" You know, like that question really like struck me. Okay, yeah, I'm here. But for him, this small child really knew I wasn't there. So I guess the challenge was being there, here, now, you know, like all those things. And I have to find ways to really listen to my family, because at the end of the day, what is my mission in life? Is my mission to be in front of the laptop dealing with those emails? Or is my mission to be a successful wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, and physician? That is my mission in life. So in other words, I have to continue to define myself to realize that. So challenges are there forever. There are ways how to manage those, and living in various societies and understanding various cultural backgrounds and nuances really help in the process.
Yeah, I love that. You know, what I took from that too is that's a very normal experience as a mom that you could have anywhere in the world. And, you know, whether you're living in the US, if you're from the US or whatever your home country is. And one of the things I was actually thinking about this today, oddly enough, as my kids were leaving with my husband for school, and I was standing on the porch getting with my coffee like I do every morning, waving at them. And I was just thinking about how normal our life is. It's just like, it's not wild and crazy. It's exactly what we would be doing if we were living in Idaho, where I'm from. And yes, you have extra challenges and things that you navigate living abroad, but actually a lot of the challenges are really the same. They're about being present with your family and like all of that kind of internal and relational stuff. It doesn't magically get fixed. You don't magically have everything perfect because you moved to a new country. Is that exactly your experience too?
Exactly. And human relationships are very important, right? So you create new relationships wherever you go. You move to another country, you keep in touch with them. But at the end of the day, those ones that you nurture, especially prioritizing your family and your inner circle of friends, really help out in the process for you to become a better person, right? So there's no such thing as perfect. I'm not even saying that I am a perfect mom or a perfect wife or something. I think that doesn't exist. Well, that's just me, right? But it's really more of aspiring to be there when I'm needed most. That for me is something that could overcome whatever challenge that is.
Yes, I love that. I love that so much. Okay, I would love to like geek out about travel for a minute and hear about some of your experiences. And we know that we have, being an expat, you have high highs, low lows. You have a lot of just normal every day. But I'd love to hear about some of your experiences living abroad and what you gained from those that could help our listeners, many of whom are curious about exploring this lifestyle for themselves.
Yeah. And you know, in my book, I actually related several examples. Some of them are funny. Some of them are mind-boggling, right? Like, for example, I was seated at the back of a cab, and then the title of the chapter was Don't Open the Window, because of that language sort of lost in translation piece. And I didn't know the driver was telling me, don't open the window. I thought it's okay to open the window, right? So talk about lost in translation. And then the minute that I opened the window, there was a baby thrown in at my lap, right? Okay, it's like, what do I do? How do I deal with that situation, right? So, you know, that's just an example of one of those things that they can read when they will purchase my book and read about it. It's a quick read as well. You know what? As we explore other places and countries, as we go through living in those situations, one thing that I realize one should learn is you don't expect that others around you will have the same perception as yours. At the end of the day, their impression of things could be different. Going back to that example, for me, it's like, oh my God, where I came from, you don't just throw your babies to others, right? I mean, why will you just throw that your baby to me? But actually realizing that mom thought that the best future for her baby is to give her baby away to somebody she doesn't even know, because for her as a mom, that's the best thing that she can do. So again, will I judge people because of how they behave? As long as I'm safe, right? As long as my safety is not compromised, will I judge and say, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Why did she do that? Why will somebody do that? So learning the nuances and the expectations of behaviors of others in a new country or new situation should not be taken in the context of how you expect them to be or from where you're coming from, right? So you shouldn't be interpreting them because that's how you think things should be done or executed in a sensible way. So first thing that they have to learn is, of course, if there's a way for them to learn the language, that's the best. I mean, living in Japan for so many years, we have to learn the language and the culture as well. And then the challenges, how women are treated in certain societies, like in Japan, women are not as considered equal with the society, right? So, for example, in the sumo ring, women are not allowed to enter the ring because it's considered sacred, and women are considered, dirty because of our monthly cycle. But that's just that's the context around. I should not judge them about it, but essentially that's their perception of things, right? So, again, respecting that culture in the country where we go is very much important. Learning the nuances around that new culture or society is also important. And then I'm not saying that we lose our essence in the process. We have to maintain our core values, because I believe wherever we thrive, wherever we go, our core values are in there with us and our beliefs. And basically, it's just that way of ensuring that we live in that new culture and society in order to thrive successfully, I guess. So that is important. And of course, we need to look at the possibilities of how we can become successful in that country. How will we be able to excel in that new situation? Possibilities are endless. We have to grab that opportunity and make full potential of its usage. So along the way, as I navigated through those various expatriations, powerful life lessons came along with it, right? So lesson how to be a better version of myself. And that is, okay, I have to understand your perspective in order for us to work well. And this is also my perspective of things. So let's see how we can sort of work together, right? So like what I said, the life lessons came along with it, because it's all about having that defining moment that that opportunity will be used to its full potential. So I would say each expatriation, or each travel even, not necessarily expatriation, each travel provides a unique opportunity for us to learn another context, another perspective, a different person's view of things that actually will say, huh, I didn't know that, or I didn't realize that that's what, where you're coming from, right? So that's actually very useful in the process.
Yeah, there is a sort of humility that you have to bring, I think, to any new culture. And I think for me, sometimes it's a bit challenging to navigate that, coming in with a humble spirit and wanting to learn and not wanting to judge, right? Like just to objectively experience something and take it as a thing, not as a judgment from me. And then, you know, you brought up the point of women's, you know, not being at kind of the same level in Japan, and all of the countries I've lived in, that's been the case. And interestingly, in Europe, I think people have this perception that Europe is so advanced and, you know, all these things, but actually for equity, diversity, equity, inclusion, it's way behind the US. I mean, like 30 years, in my opinion. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's how I feel. Every conference that I've been to a number of them. It's almost all men, almost all white men speaking. There's no acknowledgement of missing women, missing people of color. And it's been an interesting thing to navigate inside of myself, because part of me is like, it's 2023. Like, what is happening here? The other part of me is like, you can't look at everything through your American lens, and you have to understand that every country is on their own journey, and that for the countries that I've been to, a number of different European countries and things in those countries, that looks like progress to them. And so it's like, how do you navigate? It's hard, right? Like, how do you appreciate the culture and humbly come to it? But then you're like holding this inside of you that's like, no, no, no. You know, it's hard to navigate sometimes.
It is hard. And at the same time, if we can be a catalyst for a change, mm-hmm. that change is something that will bring out value of others in the process. That's a huge accomplishment, I think. So, for example, when I led huge teams, and to your point, you know, the most painful chapter I wrote on my book was She Won't Last Long. And that is corporate world. I mean, the title itself would say, oh my God, what is she doing here? She only knows a foreigner perspective. She doesn't know about our culture or something. And I have men in my team who are older than me who would think that they deserve the position rather than me, right? So then I had that humbling experience of, okay, try to evaluate myself. Or was I becoming too hard on myself, trying to second guess what I was doing, right? But at the end, if I said that, okay, if you are just like 1-2% of this entire population, why will I then forget the 98% who have that faith in me that I can help them in that journey to become better of what they can potentially become? So going back to what I alluded to, if I can be a catalyst for a change, that people will then realize their value because of us, either by coaching them or training them or just having that conversation. It could be an informal one, like, hey, I need a chat with you, or something else, whatever that is. There's no formula. But it's something that I believe also came as a powerful life lesson. I think if we are there, not just a bystander, but also to have our voice heard in some way, shape, or form in order to enable a change for their benefit. It's not for us, but for their benefit, after, of course, careful consideration of what are the ones within the bounds of cultural expectations, that they won't see it like, oh my God, she's forcing something on us, right? So I'm sure it will be realized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that perspective. It is like, how do I use the space that I have to create the change that I can make and inspire others to do the same? So I love that so much. Part of your journey has been getting out of your comfort zone. And one of the things when I reflect on my own journey, you know, we moved to our first country when I was 24. And I'm so thankful when I look back on that because, you know, we're in our fourth country outside of the US now. We had two of them were before kids. And it was so formative for me to just get rid of everything and move to this new country and have this crazy experience, you know, just like, you know, being a 24-year-old, my first real job outside of college. And it really helped me orient in the world in a way that appreciates that stepping outside of my comfort zone. But that's very unique. Most people have a path, and we're kind of taught from the time we're in kindergarten that, like, this is the path you take, and this is the life that you can have, and here's some options, but, like, it's within this. And so then you get to a certain point in life, and you kind of look around, and you're like, oh, I think I just defaulted into a lot of this. And so then that starts to stir within you. And a lot of the people listening have that feeling, I think, that I had when we'd been back in the US for 8 years between countries, that was like, it was a physical sensation. I could feel like, this is not what I want, but I don't know what to do to do something different. And eventually we found our way forward and moved to Thailand and moved to Portugal. But many people are in that place right now. So what would you say to somebody there who really is in a comfort zone, but dreaming of something else, something kind of beyond the scope of what they know?
Yeah. And I really love the journey that you've been through as well, Stacey, you know, trying to realize, okay, is this really me? Is this really the me that I want to become? Right. So, I guess the comfort zone that we are talking about sometimes could be just even outside our homes, right? Especially with COVID. Most of us are so familiar with remote work, you know, all those things. So sometimes we don't want to leave our home offices, our own garden, and so on. And then even moving to another state, even moving to another community, or even, of course, moving to another country, especially moving to another entirely different region, right? So I believe that for me, my experience was, I think there is something out there more than the environment that I was swimming in. I believe that the space that I was in was actually okay for me. It was big enough for me and my family. But for some reason, I guess I would be able to thrive better. I will be able to realize that dream if I leave that space. I guess because there have been experiences telling me that, maybe I can do more if I add certain expertise here and there. So part of that was also being educated in several countries, right? So it's also not limiting that professional growth. If we have a good way to put in a certain perspective of, number one, first realizing what we want to become, are we satisfied where we are today? So if you are, yeah, go ahead, just stay there, right? So the other side of the equation is, will you be more satisfied if you leave your current space today? And that means maybe just outside your comfort zone, exploring another work, another hobby, another activity that you think you will find more satisfaction, more gratification? Or does that mean moving to another country, territory altogether, because it will challenge you more. Maybe you thrive more in a challenging environment and then grow in the process. So for me personally, I have several friends or several people also ask me, does it really mean for you to become a better person? You have to relocate, you have to be expatriated, you have to transfer to another country. The answer for me is, it depends what you really want to become. Because again, for me, it's that mission in life. What is your mission in life? Is your mission to be a world traveler? Then go ahead, just travel around the world. Is your mission to be, like for me, a better mom, a better wife, a better daughter, better sister, better friend? Does that mean traveling around the world too? Well, probably not. But for my growth to be realized, I think I had to be in a space whereby my family came along with me, whereby we live together in a certain space where we believe our growth will be realized to its full potential if we do it in that direction.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how you were talking about this idea of, like, am I satisfied where I am? Because sometimes I think we can lose sight of, or like maybe we look to somebody else's life and compare to ours and become dissatisfied. But actually the life itself is not the problem. It's like contentment or a number of things that we can work on. And it doesn't always mean that you have to change your environment, but maybe there's some things about your life that you can shift that are smaller right now. And the other thing that I always want to put this message out, that there are so many different beautiful lives, and the life that kind of looks default for some people is so deeply meaningful and fulfilling. A number of my best friends, family members, they have that life that was set out before me, and they're so happy and so fulfilled. And so I don't think there's ever like a right or wrong way, but to your point, it's about checking in with yourself and asking, am I happy? Am I satisfied? And if not, would this other thing potentially bring me that? So I love that. I love that check-in. Your book is called The Expat. It is full of stories and so many of your ups and downs, challenges and highs of living abroad. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're most excited about right now? You told me about a really cool project right before we started recording, and where our listeners can learn more about you.
Yeah, I mean, thanks a lot, Stacey. So first of all, you know, I would just like to add something to your point a while ago about, you know, having that realization to become a better version of ourselves, right? So we need to prioritize what matters most. And that is, you know, understanding our full potential. If that could be your priority, if your priority to be realizing your mission, your value, define yourself in the process as well. And one difficult thing that I guess is a huge challenge up to now for all of us, for me until now, is learning to let go, right? So that is a huge area altogether. So for now, what excites me, obviously, is my book. I mean, I read it several times. I wrote it as well, but it's really something for me very fulfilling. And I was touched with several reviews on Amazon, and also some of the things that my friends or colleagues or people that I've never heard for like maybe 4 decades already or something, or decades. It's like, oh my God, they should make a movie out of it or something, because it's a quick read and it's so inspirational. It's highly relatable. So that excites me a lot. And of course, I hope your listeners will also visit my website. It's JovelleFernandez.authorchannel.co, and I'm sure they will find out more in your podcast too about it. But certainly what excites me right now as well is what is there realizing my full potential, right? So realizing after all the countries I've been through, I was exposed to various healthcare systems. Of course, as a physician, I'm exposed to how treatment is being made, how diseases are managed. And as an oncologist, my focus is on cancer. And right now, together with a friend of mine, we are developing an oral cancer vaccine. So hopefully it will be in the market But of course, it has to go through clinical development. So right now we are evaluating the safety of its usage. So again, my quest is to provide a solution to a huge unmet need, and that is managing advanced cases of cancer. Because I want to change the conversation between a physician and a patient from, "I'm sorry, you have cancer," to, "That's just cancer, take this drug," you know? So I believe that will be a compelling differentiator as well in the process. So again, for me, going back to my book, when I learned to prioritize what matters most, and that is for me to make a huge difference, maybe to others in my space, in my personal life, and in my professional life, maybe I can do something more. And then defining myself in the process, right? So evaluating myself constantly. You know, in the corporate world, you go through this 360-degree evaluation, your annual performance review. But do you do that in your personal life? Like, do you do an annual performance review? Ask your kids, "Hey, how did I do well? How am I as a mom, right? Did you ever do that, right?" So defining yourself and, of course, learning to let go of things that you know you cannot change anymore, but you know that you learn from it in the process and become a better person as well.
Well, Javal, you have so many cool things going on. Congratulations on your new book and all these amazing efforts that you're making in the world. It was such a pleasure having you today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. And thanks a lot as well to your listeners and to you. It's an honor to be your guest in this podcast. And I hope for those out there who would like to write a book, just write. Start with a pen and a paper and keep on writing, right? And never hesitate to ask for help, because help is available, right? Somebody could help you try to organize your thoughts. And of course, what is that value that you bring in this world altogether? Because once your book is out there, it's out there. And I know it will make a difference to somebody else's lives. For me, if I can put a smile to somebody just for them to read my book, that's already an accomplishment for me.
Yes, oh, I love that message, Javal. Thanks so much for joining me today. And I want to say thank you to the team that makes this podcast possible. We have Rita Dominguez, Catherine Fishman, and Kim Foster. They're all working behind the scenes to keep everything flowing and working. So I'm so grateful to them and to you, the listener, for joining us today. And we will be back with you before you know it. You can always access show notes, including any links mentioned in this episode, at stacyennis.com/podcast. And you can connect with me at stacyennis.com, on Instagram at Stacey Ennis, or on Facebook at Stacey Ennis Creative. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Here's to building lives that are beyond better.